Welcome to another episode of the Sullivan Talk Show. My name is Josh Withers. I'm your host today, and we've got a special episode. Earlier this year, I sat down with a few new Cert 4 of Celebrancy graduates that have become celebrants recently, and I want to share their story with you. If you're thinking about becoming a celebrant, if you're a new celebrant, hopefully their path will encourage you and show you a path that might make a way forward for you. And if you've been a celebrant for some time, hopefully just mixing with new blood might be an encouragement for you as you continue on your journey of being an awesome celebrant. I hope you enjoy this episode.
My name is Lockie. I have been a celebrant for a year under the brand name Weddings by the Beard. It grew itself out and it's here to stay, apparently. I do most of my work out of Melbourne, but have been tempted to go interstate a few times, and we'll see how much more often that happens. It's pretty always, it's always exciting to do.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gig, the old doing weddings around the world, hey?
Oh, around the world is the next step. That would be tremendous, of course.
Well, mate, keep on trying. You're getting there. I'm in Hawaii at the moment and off to Paris on Friday. So,
so it can be done.
It can be done.
Tremendous.
Tell us, mate, why on earth are you a celebrant? What happened? What happened to your childhood that you thought you should go and speak in front of crowds for a living?
What went wrong? Well, that's it. I'm one of those real weirdos as a screw loose and really enjoys public speaking, would you believe?
I know it. That's me.
Yeah. We're in good company. A life on stage, musical theatre, drama degree, couple of years travelling around Europe being a tour guide. And then I got home and it was just when the virus that shall not be named landed. And I went, what can I do that I will find fulfilling and will put my hard-earned skills to work? And it just happened. I went to a friend's wedding. Damon Hughes, huge shout out, absolute legend. And Damon was up there having a great time. And I went, that, and ran at it.
It's always interesting. Most celebrants have got one of two stories. One is that they saw a wedding and it was really bad and they thought, oh, I could do that better. Or the other one is you see someone like Damon, who's a legend, and you see that and think, oh, that guy does a really good job. I reckon I could do a really good job too, which is cool.
And it's probably only binary. There would be no in between.
No, like no one sees just like an average celebrant and goes, oh, yeah, that could be a job.
Something like that, maybe. Yeah, that's a job that people do.
And you did the Cert 4. I'm going to stage a guess that a personality like yours is a little bit like mine, where academic study like a Cert 4 seems like a really cool idea until you get the first module open.
Yeah. And you're sitting there going, yes, they say it takes a year for a reason, right?
Yeah. Not for me, like not for a smart guy like me. It's probably.
Oh, no, yeah, easy, right? And I got all the time in the world to manage that as well.
Yeah. So how did you find the Cert 4?
Look, it was monstrous. I was given all the warnings in the world. And as you said, we just blithely ignore it, saying this will take time. Make sure you've got energy. And I went, I can do that, you know, in spare time and what have you. COVID made it pretty hard. There's a number of assignments in there that, you know, you got to sit down with 5 or 30 friends. And when it's hard enough to get two people in a room at that period of time, it really dragged out. I think the course itself, when I took it really seriously, prepared me really well. There were large aspects of it that weren't directly related to weddings that I found maybe difficult to keep up the motivation with. Anything wedding related, really motivated, saw the immediate payback with it. But when it's things like practice, filling in for someone's 80th birthday or whatever, I thought, am I enjoying this? Or is this just a real kind of box tick? So that was a difficult part of it.
Yeah, I understand that. And you know what's funny is as the Certificate 4 is prepared, there's just things you got to tick off from like not to get too deep down in the nerdery, but there's government frameworks and for someone to get a Cert 4 in celebrancy, they got to have tick, they got to have all these ticks. And so in designing the Cert 4, like, how can we do this and not make it terrible?
Yeah, that would be a task for sure.
Yeah, hopefully we've done the best job we can.
Look, I reckon you have. as far as the best job you can do, because there was a number of things in there. And you look at the whole, I don't know if it's called a syllabus, but I'm going to call it a syllabus, when you have to just hit a pass on hundreds, it felt like heaps of markers across over a dozen assignments that I went, yeah, they really need to tick every box. So you'll walk away going, I can do this. Because the last thing you want to do, especially when you study something like along the lines of being a celebrant and then going into the world and just like, hey, start your own business, go. There's a whole bunch you need to be prepared or at least aware of. So by the end, there were moments that I was bashing my head against the wall thinking either this is tedious or am I going to use it? But I tell you, I reckon I've used most of it. So huge props to you.
I've got to be honest, zero props to me, 100 props to Sarah. I just, I'm just the guy that turns the light in the fridge off and on.
Absolutely. And Sarah is a legend of the game. And having her number on speed dial is very handy, and reaching out and having a chat when you have questions and that sort of stuff, or having all the materials that have been put together as well.
It's funny you mentioned that. Like, we've obviously got the Celebrant. There's the Celebrant Institute RTO, which is what you've studied through, and then there's the Celebrant Institute membership, which is, you know, kind of post study, you know, for your practice as a celebrant, and the premise of it literally is, just basically to have Sarah on speed dial, and I'm just grateful to have her on speed dial as a friend and to learn as a business partner. So she's an asset
in a huge way. And but, like, you know, I think that whole website I found such use out of in terms of seeing the camaraderie and having blog posts on, like, hey, let's talk PA systems, or let's talk charging people money, and like having a pre. Like having a dialogue from a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 days ago, to go through and go, hey, I'm not alone in this. People are thinking the same way I'm thinking, have the same concerns that I have, and have, if I can, you know, blow a bit of wind up your trouser skirt there, saying you are legends of the game, having answers for these questions that we have.
I'll humbly accept that. Thank you.
I feel the bow. Yeah.
Look, you mentioned money. I love talking to people about money, just on a general sense, just between friends, because I feel it's the big no no. Like we can talk about religion and politics these days, but for the love of God, don't talk about money.
Don't ask how much someone earns. Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask you how much you earn. But there's this aspect to celibacy that you do the cert for, you do the application, you get the letter in the mail saying you're all G, and there's a moment where you've got to take it to market. Roll out your go to market, call it a plan, or even just your thoughts on and how they've evolved since you saw Damon to now. You know, like how has that evolved about taking yourself to market, you know, getting that booking, charging a buck, that kind of thing?
That's it. What a journey it's been. In terms of my first ceremony I did was on the 22nd of May last year. So we're basically coming up on this year in review, being that I think I got the email saying, all right, go for it, in late April. You know, I had this ceremony, friend of mine found out I was doing the studies and went, you're going to be free on this date? And I said, yeah, probably. Let's see how much of this assignment I can get through. And by the time I sent off the cert for, you know, it's got to go off to the Attorney General's office and stuff, we were pulling it real fine. Of course, it's the norm, the month in advance. And we had to have backup plans, because I was either getting this email and we could run off and sign the norm and get started, or we had to get someone else to sign it and transfer it over to my name in the 3 week period before their ceremony. So that was pretty stressful, but a real fun sort of jumping off point to get certified, get a wedding under your belt, and then go, okay, I can do this in a legal and ceremonial sense. Because I think the first one is really important. And it's hopefully for everyone out there, you know, doing the studies, have a friend or colleague or someone kind of lined up, because I wouldn't know what to do. The first one, a friend. Second one, friend of a friend. Third one, a mate's cousin. It was about my fourth or fifth wedding that I did that was someone found me organically. And they were the most wonderful and organized person. They found me off the Attorney General's registry of all celebrants in Australia. 100%. I went, what is, I've never, amazing.
You were just clicking through all 10,000 celebrants. Next.
Right? And somehow next. Landed on next. This bloke. Yeah, yeah. And they land on my rudimentary website that I just slapped together off GoDaddy. Yes, that was it. So that was kind of the thing. The benefit of doing the studies was it is kind of well sorted out, being like, cool, do legals, think about planning ceremonies, think about formal words and all that stuff. And then it goes, all right, now start thinking about businesses. Have you got an ABN? Have you got a website? So you kind of get a lot of that going. Of course, you can't advertise as a practicing celebrant until you are, but a lot of it is like a real watch this space type thing. So the second that my website went up, they were right on it. And so then I went, okay, now how do I get people to find me? And that was a hit and miss, or just kind of a real shotgun shot in the dark type thing. I started just putting money into places, trying to get it out there. And if I got immediate responses back, which largely I did, I kept it going. If I didn't for like 2 or 3 months, I scrapped it. Basically for the large part, if I put money into it, I saw money come out of it, which was really positive. So every dollar I put into Google ads, someone said, hey, I just saw your ad on Google. Every dollar I saw of going into Instagram or Facebook ads, someone, you know, you'd get X followers and then a DM. I've joined a few celebrant registries, because the name escapes me now, for like websites and stuff that have banks and celebrants.
Yep.
They're the ones, yeah. And I've seen some work come out of it, or at the very least enough work that I go, cool, I've got money out of putting my name on these websites. You can't go all over, because there's probably a certain Venn diagram-ism to it, where someone's going to see your face in a number of places. But combination of being a bit reserved, but also sort of going out there, you know? And here we are with... The year ahead is looking big for me. So this good, year good. Just been has been, oh goodness, I probably should have got my number down, but I've done, you know, a fistful, a dozen, or maybe a little over a couple, that sort of weddings. And the next 12 months, you know, we've got about 30 coming up, which is really exciting. So to see that sort of growth there, and I don't know what the 12 months after that's going to look like, but you put the effort in and you go up and up and up from there, hopefully.
Money is a good lead in, and share as much or as little as you want. I'm not really, I'm not here to get you. But the money side of it, as much as money is a marketing story, it's also a product story. You know, there's a, we were in Baja California Sur, Cabo San Lucas, a few weeks ago, and there's a hotel there that has a $500 US taco. And I did not buy it, just to clear everything up. And I just because I couldn't imagine, like, as much as that $500 taco very much is a marketing story, in the end, I'm going to drop down 500, or, you know, it's going to be closer to 700 Australian. And I'm just putting a bloody taco in my mouth. So money, yeah. Okay, I don't know what kind of meal I could spend $500 on. I'd probably be pretty hard up to pony up $500 for a meal for myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, talking about money and leading to the product side of things, because the marketing story is important, and that narrative is really important. But for you, the obvious answer is you're selling yourself as a celebrant. But how does your product differentiate from others in a broad sense?
Yeah, well...
And obviously the money comes into that.
Of course,
well.
Yeah. So when you start off, you're just a very green celebrant that has to market themselves as, you know, basically, I had to go in with cheap, give me work, please. I'll say yes, say do, wear anything you need me to do your wedding. And from there, that energy kind of rolled over into the idea behind like writing ceremonies that people want, rather than the ceremony that everyone thinks of when they think of wedding, this non-traditionalism route that I think a lot of people are sort of wanting more of these days. For every to happen to hold till death do you part, there's a stand-up comic quasi routine coming out there. And as much as I'm not that far onto the, you know, bombastic side of things, a little bit of sitting down and talking with couples and individuals and say, well, what do you want? What actually do you want to get out of this? As a celebrant, we have a surprising amount of insight in terms of knowing what has to legally go into a wedding. And apart from that, well, what do you want out of this half hour, 40 minute, you know, whole evening that people are planning and building? So when I started, it was very much commercially competitive. Hire me just because you got to hire someone. And a lot of that had quite quick turnarounds. People going, hey, we want to get married in 3 months, 4 months, 2 months, and we're just looking for a celebrant. And I was free. A lot of celebrants get booked out, right? And I was also cost effective. But from there, as I developed that, developed my processes, got way better at writing ceremonies and having insight into what makes a good ceremony and the little things that you build, playlists for song recommendations and all the things that are out there. But if you make them your own, then it's an addition to the product that you can give to them. You know, how to write vow packs. There's dozens of websites out there. But if you have your own, you can then give that to them and say, this is also something you don't have to go looking. You've got it all there as an attachment or an email that I can send you. As that's grown, as I've really pushed the narrative of not copy and pasting anything, I suppose, as much as a lot of things are commonly used, we all, not all, but most ceremonies have an asking moment, the I do moment. They have a ring ceremony at some point, usually. So there's only so many, you know, what's the sentence? 1,000 ways to skin a cat or something like that. Yeah, there's only so many ways you can say a ring is a circle and that means I love you, I suppose. But you play around with it and you say the customizability, I suppose, is one thing that I can play with because at the moment, I've got time to sit there and pour hours into a ceremony. We'll see how that goes in the next 12, 24 X years down the track, but maybe I'll continue to get better at it and have a bank of styles and things to use. So, yeah, as that's grown, as I've become more confident and delivering a better product, my price has reflected that. So it started a hyper-competitive foot in the door that was noteworthy to, well, hang on, if I'm going to put a number of hours into this, if I'm going to take Fridays and Saturdays of my time and social thing, you start to have that confidence and go, no, I want to be fairly remunerated. And then you want to be, you want to step in, you actually have a dollar value sort of represent you and what you think you're worth. As much as a $500 taco is going to be a very particular person buying it. But there's that sort of middle ground where you go, if there was, I don't know what the dollar amount is, but if there was an expensive taco out there, sometimes you look at it and go, hey, that might be a really good taco. It's within the natural, the economic value of a taco, but you go, how good can a taco be for $20, $40, where do you sit? What taco are you providing these people? We're right into the metaphor now. I'm ankle deep. I'm wading through it.
As someone who's lived in Mexico for the last 6 months, I'm here for the taco metaphors.
Yeah. But that's it. It's the same. I would often talk to people about it, talking about like whiskey or wine has like a similar thing there, being like, you've got wine or whiskey that is strictly like whiskey and Coke whiskey, you're going to adulterate it. You're going to change it. It's going to be what you know and there's no expectation there. And then as you sort of move through different types of whiskeys, there's a certain point where you need to have a really discerning palate or whatever, if you want to, like, you know, wave your hands around while you do it. And then there's this upper end whiskey that I think anyone would look at and go, you're not buying that for whiskey. You're buying that to sit on a shelf. And I don't know where that takes the metaphor, but I'm well, sure that's a valuable way to finish that sentence. Yeah.
As someone who appreciates a whiskey, I can tell you that there's no easy way to finish a sentence about whiskey. You should just keep on going. But I will wrap up the podcast on this note. I am
sure.
There's people listening to this that have been a celebrant for 20 years, and I hope that they're revitalized by your energy. But if you could wrap up with the encouragement to the person who's thinking about becoming a celebrant, because, and I'll give mine, that I would tell anyone that asks me about whether they should become a celebrant or not. My first thought is to actually do what Robin Williams did. Robin Williams famously, when people would ask whether they should become a comedian, he would say no. And his bit was that if Robin Williams saying no is the thing that stops you becoming a comedian, you were never going to make it in the first place.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, which I
That's
love.
That's got such a great... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't do that because apparently that can sound like you're an arsehole. So my actual encouragement is a little bit more encouraging, that there's enough average celebrants. There's enough cheap celebrants. There's enough, you know, people that just don't really care or aren't passionate. And I'm not really calling out anyone. I'm just saying there's enough of those people. That market is looked after. The market that isn't a full yet, the market that is still aching for more talent, is that that upper end of the market of people that really care, that are really passionate, and is desperately in need of great celebrants. So that's what I'd say to you or anyone else. That's the void waiting to be filled. But I'll let you end on this. What's your encouragement to someone thinking about becoming a celebrant today?
That's great advice. My 2 cents is, yeah, find something that you're going to get fulfillment from. It is an incredible thing to do for two people. Weddings are a highlight of some people's lives, and you get to be a part of that. Everyone you meet is at an absolute high point in their life. Two people that are in love or are looking to start a dynasty or something like that. So you will only work with wonderful people that tend to be incredibly passionate, in love, that are looking to make something really wonderful. So if that sounds good to you, I'd dive into it.
Lockie, that's such a good ending. Thank you. Give us a shout out. What's your social website and that kind of thing?
Weddings by the Beard. It is everywhere you're going to find it, including on the bathroom sink after I shave, Instagram, Facebook, online. Thank you so much. Having me.